Shatatayatriptirhi
Shanvato nasti me amritam
Shanvato nasti me amritam.
Vistarenatmano yogam
Vibhutim cha janardhana
Bhuyakataya triptirhi
Shrinvato nasti me mritam.
Vistarenatmano yogam
Vibhutim cha janardhana
Bhuyakataya triptirhi
Shrinvato nasti me mritam. Ladies. Someone? No? Okay. Hare Krishna. Empty real estate here, so many little girls can fill it up. There you go. Okay. Vistarena.
In detail.
Atmanaha.
Your.
Yogam.
Mystic power.
Vibhutim.
Opulences.
Cha.
Also.
Janardana.
O killer of the atheists.
Bhuyaha.
Again.
Kataya.
Describe.
Triptihi.
Satisfaction.
He.
Certainly.
Shrinvataha.
Hearing.
Na asti.
There is not.
May.
My.
Amritam.
Nectar.
This is a little boy who doesn't really want to be here. I can tell that. So let there be a second place and let them play.
Can you make an arrangement for the kids to play inside? All the kids can go inside and play.
The kids who want to play can play. I remember from Kuwait that there are kids who like to listen. It's an exception. Well, those who want to listen can stay, and those who want to play can play. That way everyone's happy. O Janardan, again, please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. Purport. A similar statement was made to Suta Goswami by the rishis of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka. That statement is, Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yachchindatam rasajnanam swadu swadu pade pade. One can never be satiated, even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, who is glorified by excellent prayers. Those who have entered into a transcendental relationship with Krishna relish at every step the descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord. Thus, Arjuna is interested in hearing about Krishna, and specifically how he remains as the all-pervading Supreme Lord. Now, as far as amritam, nectar, is concerned, any narration or statement concerning Krishna is just like nectar. And this nectar can be perceived by practical experience. Modern stories, fiction, and histories are different from the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, and that one will tire of hearing mundane stories, but one never tires of hearing about Krishna. It is for this reason only that the history of the whole universe is replete with references to the pastimes of the incarnations of Godhead. The Puranas are histories of bygone ages. If there's a door there, the door should stay closed. Keep the lid on, the little children. The Puranas are histories of bygone ages that relate the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord. In this way, the reading matter remains forever fresh, despite repeated readings. No, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to sit here and compete with children. I'm simply not. So make a decision. Either they can play or they can sit. But they can't play and sit, because I'm mean. I can't guarantee the safety of your children if they caught up in the class. Okay. You guys are okay. Vistarena atmano yogam vibhutim cha janardana. Bhuya katya triptirhi. Shrinvito nasti memritam. Is that door closed? And she can do it. It doesn't need
back.
Got a lock? You can lock them in? One of those New York padlocks, you know, requires 10 strong men to break the door down. We're working in a small flat anyway, so it's understood. We have to tolerate a little. Vistrayen atmano yogam. Which category does this child belong to? The child who wants to listen to the lecture, or the child who would rather do something else? The child who wants to be here but not listen to the lecture, right? That's a special category. Om Ajnana Kimilandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam jena bhutale svayam rupakada mahyam tathati shabadantikam vandeham shri guru shri jatapadakamanam shri gurun vaishnavamascha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raganatam vitam stam sivivam Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Prajana Sehitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Shahagana Lodita, Sri Vishakam Vitamstra. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vaishnava Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all for coming to this program. Vistare natmano yogam viputim cha janardana. Bhuya katya triptir hi shrinvato nasti menata. This 10th chapter is concerned with how we can see God everywhere. In this, Arjuna has asked Krishna, Vakta marhasya sheshena divya hyatma vibhutaya ya bir vibhuti bir lokam imam stvam vyapyatishtasi. This chapter is also called the Vibhuti Yoga chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Vibhuti means specific opulences. Specific prominent features that the Lord shows, even in the physical, even in the material world, by which we can see His presence. That's what a vibhuti is. It's a specific feature of the Lord, a specific display of energy of the Lord, specific display of the Lord's power, by which we're able to detect His presence or see Him, even in the material world. Vyapyatishtasi. Vyapya means all-pervading. We hear God is everywhere. God is everywhere. But where is God? Do we see God everywhere? No, we don't. Then what does it mean that God is everywhere? How do we see God everywhere? So in this chapter, Keshu Keshu Tabadeshu Chintyosi Bhagavan, Arjuna asks, please provide a way that we can think of you even by seeing material things. That's Arjuna's request. Because that's what we see. In the material world, we see physical things. We see material things. That's what we're surrounded by. So Arjuna asks the Lord, please describe how you can be thought of even in the physical things of this material world. That's Krishna's Arjuna's request. Vistarena, he says, please tell me in detail about this. Atmana yoga, how you are present by your own mystic power. The Lord has transcendental power. Divya hyatme vibhuti. As the Arjuna is asked, please tell me about your divine opulences. Because the Lord is divine. Everything connected with the Lord is ultimately divine. So, atma vibhuti, atmano yoga. Please tell me how you manifest yourself by your own power. The Lord is Swarat. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, He's described as Swarat, which means independent. Swaraj, Swarat. Swarat, He's independent. That means He can do anything He likes on His own. The children are not independent. They depend on their parents. The parents are providing food. Parents are providing shelter. Parents are saying, okay, you can watch this, but you can't watch that. The parents are... So the children are not independent. And we're also not independent. The adults are also not independent. We have some boss who says, you can do this, but you can't do that. Or we have some police who say, you can go this fast, but you can't go that fast. We're all restricted when we're dependent also. We're depending on others for our food. They're providing the money or they're providing the actual food. They're, especially in a country like this, they're shipping it in from various outside countries. And so we're not independent. It's not that if I want to eat an orange, I can just desire it and it will be there. I have to depend on the shipping company, the growers, ultimately I have to depend on the rain and the sunshine. I'm not independent in these things. But when we come to the Supreme Lord, he's Swaraj. He's completely independent. He's not dependent on anyone. So when he has his own powers to do everything, we depend, the children depend on their more powerful parents, the citizen depends on the powerful government, or we depend on the powerful or wealthy corporations to provide the various arrangements that they provide for us. But Krishna doesn't have to depend on anyone. By his own power, he can do everything. That's independent. Just India, said to the British, we don't need to depend on you. We can do it ourselves. So you can go take a hike. Of course, they remain dependent in many other ways, but that's another story. No one achieves actual independence. But if I can do something myself, I don't have to depend on others. If I have my own power, I don't need to borrow power. If you have, some people have solar power, then they don't need the power that comes from the grid. They're independent in that way. But Krishna has everything. He has his own complete power to do everything and anything. And therefore, he's totally independent. It's unlike anyone else. Everyone else is dependent. Everyone. And Krishna's independent. That's one difference between us and Krishna. So Krishna has various energies. Parasya Shakti Vividaya Vishruyate. We have some energy, some creative energy, some physical energy, different kinds of energy. And the Supreme Person has unlimited energy. We're all persons, we all have a little energy. Krishna is the ultimate person. He has ultimate energy, unlimited. It's described as mystic power. Mystic power, Prabhupada, you know how Prabhupada one time explained what mystic power is? You know what it means that someone has mystic power? It means that he knows how to do something that you don't know how to do. Even a tree has mystic power. How is that? The tree eats with its feet. None of us know how to do that. And not only that, come on, Hare Krishna. Yeah, there's all this space up here. Why don't you take
please
advantage?
Come please come forward.
So the tree eats with its feet, and after eating, say if it's a lemon tree, it produces citric acid. All packaged in these little biodegradable packages, preserving the contents very nicely. And we don't know how to do that. But the tree does it every day. The eagle sees from miles away, miles down, it can see a little rat or something, whatever it's looking for. We can't do that. If I said I could see a mile away, you'd say, oh, he's got mystic power. So all of the God. Every living being, the ant lifts, what, 50 times its own weight, something like that. So it has mystic power. Well, all the living beings have the power to do something that we don't know how to do. Mystic power. But Krishna has unlimited mystic power. He can do all sorts of things that we don't know how to do. When Krishna was living in Dwarka, he married 16,108 queens. And he expanded himself into 16,108 Krishnas to live with each queen. And he would spend his time in the palace and then every morning to go to the assembly house, the 16,108 Krishnas would walk out of the palaces, become one Krishna, and go to the assembly house. And then come back and split again. We don't know how to do that. But for Krishna, this is a daily affair. He does this every day. We say, oh, this is a, you know, imagination, or this is mythology. But again, the things that we don't know how to do, we could say, well, this is mythology. If we don't know how to do something, we say, oh, it's not possible. But it's entirely possible for those who have more power. The ant, if you tell the ant about us, the ant will say, no, this is ridiculous. There couldn't be such creatures. And so for us, we say, oh no, there couldn't be anyone who could do this. This is mythology. But it's for God. Why? What is the difficulty? If he splits into 16 million, it's not a problem for him. That's the meaning of unlimited mystic power. So, vistarena atmano yogam vibhutim chajanayam. And another manifestation of his mystic powers are these vibhutis, these specific opulences he shows in the material world. And because they're not going to be mentioned till a few verses later, I'll give you a preview, that Krishna says, among the beasts, I'm the lion. Mriganam cha mrigendraham. Why? The lion is the king of beasts. So when you see a lion, you go to the zoo, you see the lion, everybody says, ooh, see how big he is, see the claws, see the mane. Ooh. But Krishna says, this power that you see in the king of beasts is my power. It's a manifestation of my power. So when you see the lion, you can think of Krishna. Because by Krishna's energy, the lion has become the king of the beasts. Sthavaranam Himalaya. When you see the Himalayas, no one's going to move the Himalayas around. You know, someone can push me around, but nobody's going to push the Himalayas around. They're going to stay exactly where they are. So Krishna says, of things that stay exactly where they are, I'm the Himalayas. So when you see the Himalayas, if you go there or you see the picture, you can think all these mountains are manifestations of Krishna's power. They're chashanam makaras chasmi. Among the living creatures in the sea, I'm the shark. There are movies made about sharks and so on, how powerful they are. They've got enormous jaws and they move real fast. So Krishna says, among the fish, I'm the shark, most powerful. So when you see, next time you go see the shark movie here, if you go to the aquarium and see a shark, you can think of Krishna. Among the luminaries, Krishna is the sun, which we see every day. There are so many stars, there are so many other things in the sky. But Krishna says, the sun. So, finally he'll say, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shri madhurjitam eva va. Whatever you see that's great or powerful, I understand the little children, it's more difficult because the little children, because if they leave, the mother has to leave too. So I understand it's tougher. So whatever is exceptionally beautiful, whatever is exceptionally powerful, whatever you see that's exceptionally great in this material world, Krishna says that's a manifestation of me. So the idea is that by seeing these things, we can think of Krishna. Instead of just thinking, oh, such a beautiful rainbow, or, oh, such a big elephant, or oh, such a... We can think that this is just a little tiny spark of Krishna's power. That this is a manifestation of Krishna. Beauty of the rainbow gives just a hint of the beauty of Krishna. The greatness of the elephant's very great, is just a hint of the greatness of Krishna. The power of the sun is just a hint of the power of Krishna. So there are so many beautiful, powerful beings around us. Even Krishna says, among methods of cheating, I'm gambling. So it's not just the positive things. The scientist, Robert Oppenheimer, one of the people who worked on the original Manhattan Project, the project to build the atomic bomb, when they first exploded the first atomic device. Because he'd read Bhagavad Gita, he was reminded of Krishna. You know, what else, you know, such a great thing, an atomic blast. May not be a very good thing, but it's a great thing. But he was reminded of Krishna. If 1,000 suns were to rise up in the sky all at once, it might resemble the effulgence of Krishna's universe so far. So it's a material thing, an atomic blast, there's nothing spiritual about it. But there is something spiritual about it in that it's connected with Krishna, and Krishna is spiritual. So all of the material things in this world, we can begin to see in relationship to Krishna. And then the thing becomes spiritual. So, Pistrein Atmano Yogam Vibhutim Chajanardana Puya Katya Triptirhi Shrinvato Nasti Memritam. And Arjuna is asking Krishna, please talk about this because it's nectar for me. Amritam. And Katya Triptirhi Nasti. Shrinvato Nasti. I never get tired of hearing about this. This is the sign of a liberated soul. He never gets tired of hearing about Krishna. Never gets tired of hearing about Krishna. The material things we will get tired of. It becomes boring. It becomes hackneyed. It becomes dull. It becomes unsatisfying. There's so many topics in the material world, and they may give a little excitement, but after a while, it becomes dull. It becomes dull. Whatever it is. The newspapers, there's a little excitement, but whatever they're talking about after some time becomes dull. Any topics of this material world become dull. Especially it's one of the problems in material life that everybody wants to talk about something, and usually the people that they're talking to don't want to hear it. Right? Your friends, your colleagues, they want to talk on and on and on about something they're excited about. And you really don't want to hear it. And you have to sit there and be polite or whatever it is. Because the topics are not inherently enlivening. Really, they're dull. And from this we can understand that what we like to talk about is also boring for them. Every now and then two people get together who like to talk about the same thing. But after they've talked and talked and talked about it, after a while it's unrewarding. It's like trying to, puna punas charvita charvita. It becomes like chewing on sugar cane that's already been chewed. You chew it again and try and get some taste from it. But it's dry by now. Well, the whole world is going on like that, chewing the chewed. The same topics which they've chewed before many times, they're going to chew again in the hopes that there's going to be some taste. But there's not. Or there seems to be, but there's really not. But the topics of Krishna are always fresh. This Bhagavad Gita has been read for 5,000 years. And still it's being read. And people are finding new meaning in it. Or there's so many readers of Bhagavad Gita. They've been reading Bhagavad Gita their whole life. And still they go on reading. They go on finding new value, new meaning. Because these are spiritual topics, and spiritual topics are dynamic. Whereas material topics are static. They don't go anywhere. So the realized souls in particular love to hear about Krishna. They love to hear about Krishna. Arjuna wants to hear about Krishna more and more. I don't get tired of it. I'm not going to be satisfied, satiated by hearing. I'm going to want to hear more and more. If we don't want to hear more and more about Krishna, it's because we've contracted the disease of conditioned life. In conditioned life, we think, I'm this body, I'm American, or I'm Indian, or I'm Kuwaiti, or I'm this, or I'm that. I'm Jones, or I'm Smith, or I'm young, or I'm old, or I'm a man, I'm a woman, in terms of this body. That means I'm identifying with matter, although I'm spirit. And in connection with matter, I'm talking about so many material topics, or I'm interested in so many material things, which have no ultimate consequence, which are here today and gone tomorrow. But the devotees of Krishna, or the liberated souls, they know I'm not this body, I'm the soul in the body. And so they're interested in topics that are on the spiritual platform, topics of the soul, or topics of the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of, if he has unlimited potency, if he has unlimited activities, if he has unlimited beauty, knowledge, strength, wealth, fame, renunciation, then there's unlimited topics to hear about, and they are unlimitedly rewarding and satisfying. So the pure devotees want to hear about that. If we don't have a taste for hearing about Krishna, then Srila Rupa Goswami says that it's because we have jaundice. Anyone here ever had jaundice? You've had jaundice. Okay, you and me, we're the two. It's a disease of the liver, and when you get that disease, nothing has any taste. You don't feel like eating anything.
Bitter.
It tastes bitter. It's like, just you look at it and you go, food is like and sweet things taste bitter. It's just that's what it is, because the liver, it has to be working, otherwise there's no taste. And what is the cure for jaundice? The Vaidyas, the Ayurvedic doctors, will prescribe Mishri, sugar candy, papaya and Mishri, because that Mishri will gradually help the liver and clear up the disease. The only problem is that Mishri tastes bitter. For the person who has jaundice, Mishri tastes bitter. But still, on the advice of the physician, if he goes on taking that Mishri every day, what happens? It starts to taste sweet. A little sweeter. And finally, when he's cured, it will taste sweet. Really sweet. So the topics about Krishna are like that. If we don't taste them as sweet, it's because we have jaundice. We have this material disease. But if we go on hearing about Krishna, go on hearing, then it becomes sweeter, 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 till we come to this point, like the sages. We're never satiated by hearing about Krishna. He's described in such beautiful transcendental verses. So we want to go on hearing and hearing. This is the method of making transcendental advancement or advancement in spiritual life, is simply to go on hearing about Krishna from devotees of Krishna. Go on hearing the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, I'll stop here and see what kind of questions there might be.
Is there any questions I can ask?
We read in Gita about yada yada dharmasya glani bhavati kapyutana dharmasya. Okay, now my question is, would Krishna have been more relevant in this Kali Yuga than Dwapara? Because there's a lot of sorrow, there's a lot of everything over here which tells you everyone's suffering, but they don't realize that they're suffering. So I feel that Krishna's incarnation would have been more relevant in this yuga than in Dwapara. So, and why does it not happen?
No. Krishna's incarnation in Dwapara Yuga is the most suitable for Dwapara Yuga.
Yeah.
And his incarnation in Kali Yuga is most suitable for Kali Yuga.
Correct. So why does not that happen?
He does. It does happen. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sangopangastra Parshada Yagyai Sankirtanai Prayer Yajantihi Sumedusa. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, it's described that Krishna comes in every age. And in the Kali Yuga, he comes also. But he's not Krishna by complexion.
Exactly.
Or
in his manifestation as Krishna.
This is Krishna. He's Krishna Varnam. He's in the Krishna category. But Tusha, by complexion, not Krishna. He's not black. Not black means that he comes in different ages, four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. He comes in a white incarnation, red incarnation, the black incarnation and the gold incarnation. So that he's not black means white is already there, red is already there. Now black, he's not black. That means golden. That his complexion in Kali Yuga will be golden complexion. And Sangopangastra Parshana. Krishna comes with the Sudarshan Chakra. He always comes with, Ramchandra comes with a bow, Balaram comes with a plow.
Yeah.
So Krishna comes always with different weapons. where Vishnu has Shankha, Chakra, Garapadma. But in the Kali Yuga, when Krishna comes, his weapons are Sangha, Upanga, Astra. His astras, his weapons, are his Angas and Upangas. Anga means limbs. So one meaning is that his limbs, his physical beauty, is his weapon. People will be attracted to his beautiful form. And another meaning is his associates. Just like your arm or your hand is one. So he has his right hand men, his associates. Sangopangastra Parshada, his associates, are his weapons. All right, but what is he doing? When the incarnation is described in Shastra, the physical features are described, and then his mission is described. What is his mission? Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumetasa. His mission is to spread Sankirtan, or the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So that feature of Krishna appeared in Bengal 500 years ago as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared with very fair complexion, golden complexion. He was surrounded by his associates like Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu. And his business was to spread the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. And that chanting is now spreading all over the world as the most relevant form of spiritual realization. Kalir Dosha Nithay Rajan Asti Hieka Mahanguna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramuja. This Kali Yuga, as you said, it's a terrible age. Quarrel and fighting and hypocrisy, and you can go on and on, write books and books about how bad this age is. Mahanguna Eka Kalir Dosha Nithay Rajan Asti Hieka Mahanguna. But there's one good thing. What is that? That in this age, simply by Krishna Kirtan, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha, one can get free from all material entanglement, Param Vrajet, and go back to God and attain the highest perfection. So, in this age, Krishna comes in the most relevant form, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishna said, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja. Mamekam Shadana Mahamtam Sarvapadana. Surrender to me and I'll save you. But you have to surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just chant Hare Krishna. Then the chanting will uplift you. And then you can surrender. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna comes as the Supreme Lord and demands surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as a devotee of the Lord and shows us how to surrender. Just as the teacher says, okay, write A, write B, write C. But if the student can't figure it out what to do, then the teacher takes the pen. A, B, C. Teacher isn't a beginner. Teacher knows how to write ABC. But for the benefit of the student, the teacher picks up the pen and shows how to do it so that the student can learn. So Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Madhbhakta, become my devotee. But in Kali Yuga, people are clueless. They don't know how to become devotees. Even if someone would say, all right, I'll become a devotee, what do I do? How do I become a devotee? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows how to become a devotee. Well, he's the most relevant incarnation for this age, Kali Yuga. And we see that is the process of spiritual realization that he taught is spreading everywhere. I just came from Africa. Really, Africans are also chanting Hare Krishna. It's in Uganda, Botswana, South Africa, Kenya. And the African people are also chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that only the Indians, everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spreading for everyone, the Americans, the Africans, and anyone. So the method that he's taught is practical. It's practical and effective. Okay? Dharma samsthapana arthai. Dharma samsthapana, that's his business, to establish the method of Dharma for the age. So in this age, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Yavakevala. Kalo nastyeva, 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 katiya. Hari Nama will be effective. Chanting the holy name of Krishna. And other methods won't have the effect. Then okay.
But how does it cleanse the evil that is happening? Evil is growing every year.
Suppose, let's take evil. There are four evils. Intoxication, gambling, animal killing, meat eating, and illicit sex. Four big, big evils. But when people take up chanting Hare Krishna, then they become devotees and they give these things up. That's our practical experience all over the world. They could go, even people who are living lives which you can say are full of evils, they chant Hare Krishna and they become good. Not just superficially good. You know, we make some program and we get some people to do good. I was just seeing some article about Google. What's their motto? Their motto is, the motto with which they started the company was, don't do evil. But now they've become a huge, you know, $40 billion company. And so naturally, they do so much evil. Because there's no absolute point to which that motto is tied. But when someone becomes Krishna conscious, then they're tied to the all good. They're connected. Yoga means connection. Connected to the all good. So they become good automatically. See? If we want people to become good, if we want goodness to spread in the world, then spread this chanting Hare Krishna. Some other question?
But Swamiji, in today's world, like, goodness doesn't count all the time. We can't be good all the time. Like, if we are living in this...
If you can't be good all the time, be bad for Krishna.
But is that genuine if for some reasons? Like, we are working somewhere. So we have to, like... do something, not that good, not
that. That Krishna says, that every occupation is covered by some fault. Every occupation.
And people take us for granted also sometimes.
Like, it's always taken for granted. Just like a businessman. My mother went to India, and naturally she, apart from other things, had to go shopping, right? So she goes to the little jewelry store, and she's asking, you know, how much is this? And the shopkeeper says, because you're my first customer of the day. So it's understood that this is a lie. But it's a routine lie. It's the normal lie. Because without lying, you don't do business. So the merchants are accustomed to saying something which may not be strictly the truth in order to sell the product. So that's the fault in mercantile life. In political life, there are other kinds of things that one does that are not very admirable. Even the Brahmins, they sometimes perform sacrifices in which animals are killed, or they sometimes become the advisors to evil persons. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras. Shudras sometimes become the servants of masters who are not very good in their character. But Krishna says that we have to perform our prescribed duty even if it has some fault. We're not going to find a duty which is free from faults. Every occupation, every line of work has its own problems, its own shortcomings. So Krishna, rather than saying, well, then give up all work because it's all faulty, he says, do your work for me. Yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat juhoshi, didasi. Yat tapasyasi kautiya, tat kurusha marargana. Do that for me. Then you'll be freed from the reactions of good or bad work. Even good work has its bad reactions. If you do good deeds, you go to the heavenly planets. And you live there for 10,000 years. But that means you have to take birth and live there for 10,000 years. That's not very good. Continuing your material existence. So, good or bad, it's all bad. So, Krishna says, come back to me. Now, how can we do that? Even though I'm doing work which has so many faults, you do it and offer the results to me. Something else? There was another question. Yes.
You said that when you chant Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, you tend to go towards the good things. Hmm. Right. Am I right in understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So if I'm a bad man and if I chant it repeatedly, the same thing, how can I transform myself?
Yes, you don't have to transform yourself. The holy name will transform you. You know the story about Narad Muni and Valmiki?
Yeah.
Valmiki Rishi is the author of Mulanara Ramayana. So he was a murderer. He wasn't a sadhu to begin with. He was a killer. So Narad Muni is very intelligent, you know, what to do with this person, how to get him. So he advised him that you meditate on death. How is that? You just chant death. What is that? Mara. You just meditate on mara. Mara, 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 mara. It becomes Rama. Ma Ra. Ma Ra. So finally it became Rama, Ram, 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 Ram. He became purified. It's not a mechanical thing. The holy name of the Lord is Shuddham. It's pure. It's pure. You stand in the sun, you'll get warm. You dive in the water, you'll get wet. You come in contact with the holy name of Krishna, you'll be purified. Because the holy name of Krishna is as good as Krishna himself, there's no difference. By chanting Hare Krishna, you associate with Krishna, and then you become purified by Krishna. That's how it works. Thank you. Good question. Anything else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.